do a couple more for us. This is an old Sons of Pioneers tune that I hope you like, called Tumble and Tumbleweed. See them tumbling down, pledging our love to the ground. Lonely but free I'll be found, drifting along with the tumbling tumble. Just where the trail will wind, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed. Drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed. Let me tell you, we'll be back about 8 o'clock tonight. Those of you that have gone to sleep or found a shade tree or something, come back and be with us then. We're going to go about 10 o'clock tonight. Here's a buddy to take us on out, one called Old Joe Clark, baby. Thank you. better on.
I'm sure you all noticed that old Skip is a left-handed banjo picker, so he has to string his banjo up backwards. Let's give him another hand. And now let's welcome some veteran singers, true folk singers, Jay and Peggy Smith from Jacksonville.
This will definitely be a change of pace. A few years ago, the folklorist Alan Lomax wrote an article about bluegrass and described it as folk music in overdrive. We're going to slow the drive down quite a bit now after Skip Johns. So forget all that for a minute. And children, come along while the moon is shining bright. Get on board down by the river shore. We're gonna raise a ruckus tonight. Some folks say the preacher's gonna steal.
Raise ruckus tonight.
I caught two out in my field.
Raise ruckus tonight.
One at a shovel, one at a hoe.
Raise ruckus tonight.
Digging up taters row by row.
Raise ruckus tonight.
Come on along, little children, come along while the moon is shining bright. Get on board down by.
Way down yonder, Tipton Switch.
Raise ruckus tonight.
Bullfrog jump from ditch to ditch.
Raise ruckus tonight.
Jump so high, touch the sky.
Raise ruckus tonight.
Then come back till 4th of July.
Raise ruckus tonight.
Come on along, little children, come along while the moon is shining bright. Get on board down by the river shore. We're gonna raise a ruckus tonight.
Notice that was a very seasonal song. It's the only one we know that has 4th of July in the lyric.
Hey, little Bowie.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you see my muley?
Yes, ma'am.
Where did you feed my muley?
Yes, ma'am.
What did you feed him?
Fed him on oats and barley, fed him on oats and barley, fed him on oats and barley, fed him on oats and barley.
Hey, little Bowie.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you see my horsey?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, did you ride my horsey?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, how did he ride?
You rocked just like a cradle,
rocked just like a cradle, rocked just like a cradle, rocked just like a cradle.
Hey.
jollification on the banks of the Suwannee River, much less the 4th of July. And remember, it's a double celebration because it's not only Independence Day, but it's Stephen Foster's birthday. He was born on the 4th of July. And so what better way to celebrate than with Gamble Rogers?
Well, I swear she said jollification.
Tree and a raccoon on the ground. Raccoon said, "You son of a gun, shake them Simmons down." Possum began shaking and Simmons began to fall. Raccoon said, "You son of a gun, I didn't want them all." Poor little Liza, pretty little girl, my Liza Jane. How I love my pretty little girl, she died on the train. Jane met me at the door with shoes and stockings in her hand and little bare feet on the floor. Her head is like a coffee pot and nose just like a spout. Her mouth is like an old fireplace with ashes all raked out. Poor little Liza, pretty little girl, my Liza Jane. How I love my pretty little girl, she died on the train. Steam hammer to the top of the hill. Now your boy Johnny is dead. Now your boy Johnny is dead. Captain said to John Henry, "Gonna bring me a steam hammer out. Well, I'll put that steam hammer out on the job. Now, whop that steel on down. Yeah, I'll whop that steel, old man. Little John Henry looked at his captain and he said, bring me a 12-pound hammer round. Load a 12-pound hammer with a 4-foot handle and I'll whop that steel, old man. Yeah, I'll whop that steel, old man. Let's all go chucking on the 4th of July. 15 people in a shackle block Chevrolet and one bottle of Winn-Dixie Catawba wine. Chucking, chucking, chucking. You can't do it unless you say it right. It's not juke and it's not juke, it's juke. You got one old split guitar with some Black Diamond drugstore strings. Got 14 people in a car who can pick the guitar and nobody can play anything but the Wildwood Flower. Pass that thing around, play it, and stop for wine. All sorts of scintillating conversation, arcing back and forth from front seat to back like static electricity. Well, I wonder where the next Winn-Dixie is. Well, why don't we let Homer drive? Lord knows he's too drunk to sing. Jukin', jukin', jukin'. All right, now. Do that, let me see now if I can. I sell myself cheap. I'll flat put something together here if you give me a chance. Son, that's nothing but this hammer-sucking wind, hoss.
There ain't nothing but this hammer-sucking wind. There ain't nothing but this hammer-sucking wind.
You know, people come to me all the time and they say, Gim, Gim, let's you and me talk some business. Son, do you have a favorite place to play? And I want to tell you, good people, that whenever I'm faced with state-of-the-art equipment and a concert-quality crowd, I am flat home. But maybe if I had to plumb my heart, I'd have to admit I sort of do have a favorite place to play. A funky little seaside cabaret in my own hometown of St. Augustine, Florida, a place called the Trade Winds Tropical Saloon. And son, I'm talking about a funky joint. At the Trade Winds, they got fishnets dangling from the rafters.
Every now and then one of them will break loose and envelop a whole quadrant of the room and make everybody feel like Christians. Well, sir, I remember a typical trade wind Saturday night. All those good old boys and good old girls stuffed in there like anchovies in a pressure cooker raising cane. A turgid, tar-like lamination of smoke coated the ceiling, and shimmering down the midnight air were a million shattered dreams that dangled like declensions of despair. And the daily drunks lined the walls like lemmings in repose, the festering booze assaulting their entrails like timed release suicide. And out the front door curled a languid tongue of smoke which split itself about the flagpole in front of the American Legion Hall. Yes, sir, it was a typical trade wind Saturday night. Well, now, through this thrusting crowd, there came to me a stolid, bandy-legged chaperoo who implanted himself directly before my microphone, looked at me imploringly, and said, "Son, it wouldn't make my vacation perfect if you'd play my favorite song." My heart went out to him from an entertainer, and it's my job to titillate the populace. Besides, there seemed something in his very air that smacked of vulnerability. He seemed every inch the tourist. From his basket weave, nylon mesh, crepe-soled desert boots, to his white-on-white silk socks with a raspberry fleur-de-lis running up the inseam. The fish-belly white skin of his legs contrasting smartly with his tartan plaid Bermuda walking shorts. His white elastic belt and the buckle that said, "My daddy's a truck driver." His pork chop sideburns, his butch haircut. I said, "Sir, what is your favorite song? If I know it, I'll pick it for you. What is it?" And his eyes misted over rhapsodically as he intoned the magic words, "The Beer Barrel Polka." And I didn't know the darn thing. I had to break a cardinal rule of show business. I had to take a backward step. I'd say, "Sir, can I pick you one of my favorites? It's a good one. I know you'll like it." His indifference was monumental. So I'd like to play the song for you. It's a good. I know you like. It's called "The Cannonball Ride." Thank you.
jucking, jucking, jucking. Let's juck some more. Stuff in, couldn't stop him, hide it in the tank of his tractor. Well, we didn't have too many ways to align ourselves with the counterculture in Habersham County, Georgia. Smoke a few grits, sniff a little tractor oil, strain Cerno through Merito bread and drink it. Every now and then for a mind-bending, hallucinatory, psychedelic trip in search of the vaunted and mystical white light of ultimate ontological reality. We'd roll up some crimped kudzu vine in the testimonial section of the watchtower and smoke it. All them boys getting into pills when I left those parts, black beauties, uppers, downers, quaaludes, two buffering tablets, and a bottle of ginger ale. Shake it up and drink it, blow the top of your head off. Powerful stuff. I saw old Agamemnon pour some of that stuff in his belly button one time. His rear end fell off. Powerful stuff.
it's all right to be laughing with Agamemnon, but don't be laughing at him. He's a philosopher. Now, there's some people in Habersham County accuse him of being a liberal. Some even call him a Democrat. Because he says you can't blame a man for being human unless he makes a habit of it. Some claim he's a Republican because he says an expert is just an ordinary man away from home. I have a vision of Agamemnon, the philosopher, standing out on the loading ramp at Arendelle's Purina store, surrounded by an adoring court of hillbilly interlocutors. Hunkered down on their heels they are, scratching in the dirt, their faces frozen into masks of daft, decorous, decadent disbelief, staring speechlessly for hours across the highway, waiting for the Aurora Borealis to come over the Gulf Oil Station. Up comes this swaggering, countercultural braggart, some kind of self-styled karate expert. He assumes the stance and mutters the mystic rituals. Hata, mucho macho, tiki-taki. Hata, you all. See how Agamemnon bestirs himself and appropriates a four-foot tomato vine steak with which he thrillingly lambasts his antagonist with surgical precision below the right ear, causing him to gaze upward in pious wonderment, to incline himself downward, ever downward. See how he smites the loading ramp and thereafter assumes an attitude which is both penitent and poleaxed. Agamemnon lays aside the stick and says, one smart stroke with a four-foot tomato vine steak is worth 25 of them ha-tas. Now there's a philosopher for you. So I'd like to dedicate this song to all the philosophers and to all the lovers. Everybody involved in courtship, and that's everybody I read. This is a beautiful song of precious love about two old people. Stucky stand again. The Dutchman's not the kind of man to keep his thumb jammed in the dam. That holds his dreams in. But that's a secret only Margaret knows. When Amsterdam is golden in the summer, Margaret brings him breakfast. She believes him. He thinks the tulips bloom beneath the snow. He's mad as he can be, but Margaret only sees that sometimes. Sometimes she sees her unborn children in his eyes. And a scope to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman still wears wooden shoes, his cap and coat are patched with love that Margaret sewed in.
Sometimes he thinks he's still in Rotterdam. And he watches tugboats down canals and calls out to them when he thinks he knows the captain. Till Margaret comes to fetch him home again. Through unforgiving streets that trip him, though she holds his arm. Sometimes he thinks that he's alone and calls her name. Windmills whirl the winter in, she winds his muffler tighter. They sit in the kitchen. Some tea with whiskey keeps away the dew. And he sees her for a moment, calls her name. She makes the bed up singing some old love song. She learned it when the song was very near. He hums a line or two, they hum together in the dark. The Dutchman falls asleep and Margaret blows the candle out. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me.
Thank you so very much. Well, I want you to understand that I always try to do at least one new thing every time I do a show, but I always get requests to do the old ones, and so I've had several for this, and I'd just like to close out my part this afternoon by saying that here is a hymn of praise dedicated to one of the most celebrated ethnic groups of American heroes, men for whom the noble concepts of free determination, personal integrity, and Yankee ingenuity are as natural as breathing. And I'm speaking, of course, of the commercial fishermen of Big Lake George. Big Lake George, right down the Ocklawaha River from Eureka, was near Palatka. Well, that's a big thing. It's 16 miles long. Early of an a.m. when the pellucid atmosphere about the perimeter of the lake is the color of gunmetal gray spangled with burgundy wine. And gossamer streamers of sunlight shaft skyward through the palmetto and cypress fringe. And the noble blue heron and the sassy anhinga leave the sanctity of the rookery in search of sustenance. You can hear these waterborne good old boys whipping over the surface of the lake, each one sitting tall in his 40-year-old flat-bottom paint-flake fishing skiff with a bow piled high with crab traps, trot lines, and fish weirs. He got a Winchester rifle up there. If he catches some pilgrim rustling his crab traps, he'll perforate his sorry carcass and sink him in the sanctified waters of the Mystic Lake, for he flat do not give a I can see him now sitting tall at the helm of his noble craft, his sinewy hand wrapped about the throttle of 175 horsepower Mercury outboard motor of the Quicksilver lower unit. stirring a paper plate full of pot liquor and grits, nailed down to the seat at his left side, clamped against his palpitating rib cage, a 16-ounce can of Carlin's Black Label beer whipping through the Florida atmosphere 83 miles an hour. He flat do not care. I used to think these boys caught lots of crabs and fish to buy a big old rig like that. One time I'm knocking around the Gulf Oil pumps in Georgetown, and here comes one of these commercial fishermen in off the tarmac pulling his rig behind his Dodge Club Cab pickup truck. You know the Dodge Club Cab. That's a stretch version of your common pickup, so you can carry two gun racks. He opened the door. He eased out in my direction, a symphony in pastoral grace. I was up for the occasion. I had on my tight Levi's, my Johnny Cash belt, and my Bluebell Wrangler shirt with the pearl snap buttons. As he came toward me, I sized him up. I said, hi, man. He looked me over. He said, gee. I said, buddy. You must catch right smarter crabs and fish to buy a big old rig like that. He said, Pilgrim, I didn't get that outboard motor catching no crabs. That's where the second part of the tale commences. Winding out of the Georgia Piedmont like a malignant magic carpet of concrete is Interstate 75. It bores relentlessly southward, splits the sovereign beauty of Florida.